You're listening to the What Do You Actually Do podcast. Each week, we want to bring you an inspiring interview, a useful tip, or encouraging message to help you find your place in the professional world. Hello and welcome to this episode of What Do You Actually Do? My name's Kate Morris, and I'll be your host today. In today's episode, we'll be talking about working in the sustainability and corporate social responsibility sector. Today, we're joined by Daniel Arder, who works as Sustainability Assistant Manager at Grant Thornton. So, Daniel, what do you actually do?
Well, thanks very much for having me on, Kate.
You're welcome.
I think the first thing to understand about sustainability is, what is it? And my favourite definition is, leave stuff in a better state than when you found it. But the more corporate definition is about, it's about creating a valuable and lasting legacy that can be passed on to a future generation of Grant Thornton partners, but also the people who work for the firm, so that 5 years down the line, 10 years, 30 years down the line, future generations are able to enjoy what we enjoy today and to be able to support the environment and also society. So that's a little bit there to get started with.
Because it's often sustainability, when it's used in the media, it does sort of go hand in hand with environmental stuff. Whereas what you're doing, it, yes, definitely the environment is a really important part of it, but it has got the sort of social activism, working with schools, homeless charities, refugees, etc. So it's a much broader than just the environment. So what is your day sort of, what's the sort of key elements of your role then? If that's the general goal, to leave things better than how you found them, what does that look like in terms of tasks?
Yeah, so in terms of what it looks like, no 2 days are the same. In terms of how our sustainability strategy works at Grant Thornton, I have three key priorities that I work against. So you mentioned that we do some work with schools. We have our own school enterprise program that we launched in 2017, and it's been going strong ever since. And what that does is it helps to foster a entrepreneurial mindset in young people to help them to negotiate the gap between the world of education and the world of work. It's building those new skills, getting them more financially savvy, coming up with a business idea, and then pitching that to each other in the classroom, with the view to the winners in each class getting to run it and raise money at the same time for countries, I should say countries in the developing world, but more specifically microfinance entrepreneurs. So it's making finance available to those who wouldn't otherwise have access to it. So that's one strand. The second strand is around our environmental agenda, as you mentioned. Grant Thornton is the first accountancy firm in the UK to sign up to science-based targets and to have them confirmed publicly. And so what we're trying to do is to reduce our carbon emissions in line with those science-based targets by 2023. And so coming out of that, I encourage people through, for example, a group of a network of sustainability champions around the country to encourage people to think of ways of being able to reduce their impact in individual offices. So there's a little bit of that around the environmental agenda. And then finally, Grant Thornton is very keen to shift the narrative surrounding refugees from one of challenge to one of opportunity. And we do this by raising awareness, I think, around the employability side of things. So it's about helping refugees into meaningful employment that's appropriate for their skills, knowledge, and experience. And then how do we do that? We do that by running co-created workshops alongside our partner charity Breaking Barriers. And we also offer out 6-month work placements, because the number one thing that helps refugees to mitigate that gap in their employment history is a work placement. So it's all very worthwhile stuff.
So are you kind of coming up with ideas of which charities to partner with and then what kind of projects to do, or are the projects already there and you're facilitating the workshop, so you're more hands-on with the actual people who are benefiting from this work? What's your sort of input?
So it's a bit of both, really. So on the one hand, I've got two key roles. One which is being a national sustainability rep, if you like, looking at that strategic side of things in terms of the relationships that you've outlined, and making sure that you've got a clear sustainability strategy. So those are the three pillars I've just gone over that we keep to, because it's all about marshalling that resource that a company has, yeah, in the best way and in a way that's aligned with how the business works, but also with our values. But in terms of the actual day-to-day, I should add that there's a lot of different skill sets that you bring. So, for example, it might be project management, event management. You're piecing together meaningful experiences for people to be able to interact with any one or, you know, even all of the different strands. So, it's about being able to set up events, you know, in the main, but being able to communicate that to people, get people on board with making things happen in relation to the strategy and the broader business. But it's also about being a responsible business within society and really bringing that to life for our people so that they can get involved and do good, but also protect our planet.
So that's interesting, Ben. It sounds like you're sort of communicating and collaborating internally with potentially very senior members of the business you're working for, but you're also kind of communicating, collaborating with the people who run the charities and then communicating with the people who are using the charities. So it's sort of really broad spectrum. It must be really fascinating to sort of have that amount of variety.
It is, and we're really fortunate to have that senior level of buy-in, because I think that's where the potency of it is. It's, it says a lot, I think, about the culture of the firm that I work for, where you've got that agency and that freedom, so they will back you, but you've got to also, your ideas will be challenged as well, so you've got to be rigorous in terms of how you approach things. So we introduced the refugee workshops as a result of thinking strategically, actually, how can we use our skills and so on. And then we identified Breaking Barriers as being a really good charity to work with because they have expertise in the refugee employability space. So it's not just about a corporate going in and lording it over everybody else. It's genuinely about great relationships, strong relationships, where there's an open two-way dialogue about, right, we've got this societal challenge or we've got this environmental challenge. How can we best work together to overcome that or at least mitigate that in some way? And so in the case that you mentioned around the refugee employability workshops, I get involved at that needs level. I understand what the need is through the caseworkers. I go back into the business and figure out, right, how can we actually best create content that will help meet that need, run it by the charity, they'll challenge it or agree with it. It creates an experience together, and we take it out to the participants of the workshop. I'm glad to say that the feedback has been really positive on that front.
Okay, well, in case you haven't noticed, we're in the middle of a global pandemic right now. Are you able to... Yeah, I know, it's happening. Are you able to actually work from home in your role? And how is your day different from normal?
So, yes, I can work from home. And we're really fortunate to have a strong IT set up, and that's thanks to our information services team who keep us ticking over. I think they're the unsung heroes in some ways, the work that they do to keep everything running smoothly and nobody notices. But actually, that ties in quite nicely with my day-to-day role as well. When I think about, you know, how do you engage 4,500 people around the country with this agenda, make it important, make it relevant to what they do in the day-to-day. And so, but coming back to your question about how's my work affected, well, admittedly, a lot of the events that I'd usually be running and planning and making happen are on pause at the moment. So a lot of it is around, if you will, more of the back-end stuff. Just keeping everything ticking over from an administrative point of view, but also keeping in touch with the various charity relationships and school relationships, seeing how things are going there. Interestingly, and part of my background was in internal communications, and as somebody with a English degree, shocking behavior, I know, but being able to apply my English degree at work is something that gives me an enormous sense of satisfaction, because I get to, because the firm, in my department, I work in marketing and business development. They're aware that I have an internal communications background, so I'm now able to help out with writing some stories. And because I'd written a lot of things when we had a charity relationship with Mind. Mental health is something I'm really passionate about. So being able to bring that angle into the stories is something that's really rewarding as well.
So you're writing stories about the projects or work that you've been involved in and sort of impact on individuals' lives to sort of bring it to life. Is that right?
The overlap that I'm doing, well, what I try and do actually is to blend together my internal communications experience, but also the sustainability stuff that I'm doing. So, for example, one article I released recently celebrated Earth Day, which is on the 22nd of April every year. Okay. And it celebrated its 50th anniversary this year. And I thought, well, actually, what's going to encourage people to read about this, but not hitting people over the head with it? And so we have an internal segment called 3 Minutes With, where we get to learn about our colleagues. And it occurred to me that there's a chap who's really active as one of our environmental champions, and I thought, well, let's hear a little bit more about him as a person, as well as being a champion, what that means to him. I asked him what his definition of sustainability is. So it was like a little mini interview that I penned together. So then what you're doing is you're hitting the sweet spot of both the sustainability stuff, but you're also making it interesting for people too.
So what was your starting point and where did your interest in sustainability come from?
Okay, so the starting point was many moons ago. I was a English undergrad at the University of Leeds. I studied that for 4 years. If you want the full highfalutin title, it was English Language and Literature with European Study. That is a mouthful. But I did get to spend some time in Spain, so that added a nice little dollop of cultural awareness. I then thought, actually, I want to stick around and do a bit more. So I stayed on for a master's in American literature and culture, again with European study. So half of the year in Leeds and half in Munich and Germany. And then after that, I will refer to them as my wilderness years because I didn't have a Scooby coming out of university what I wanted to do. And when I look back on that, it was incredibly confusing. So I can really empathize with some of your listeners out there. If you are thinking to yourself, oh gosh, what am I going to do? What's my degree X good for? And I felt that having an English degree, I'd say to you, it'll work out. You've just got to trust in the process and keep connecting. So I did have a few years of just going from temp job to temp job. But the one thing that I felt strongly about was working in the charity sector because I feel like in some ways I've got it a lot easier than many other people out there. So I wanted to play my part, a small part, in a way to be able to level the playing field within society. So I managed to get some work in the charity sector. I spent 7 years there, a little mix of the basic admin that you need to get your foot in the door and develop yourself as a professional. Did a little bit of digital marketing, but the bulk of my experience was around internal communication. So I spent 4 years in that. Then I had a change in direction following redundancy, and I thought, well, gosh, what do I want to do now? And again, it was just another really challenging transition. But I learned a lot of lessons. I mean, I learned how to interview properly as a result of that. So again, it's just going through that process and don't be afraid to ask for support out there, folks. Really just find a way to practice. And then eventually I made it through the other side. Grant Thornton gave me a call. And here we are 6 years later, and it's actually pretty good now.
It's interesting because it sounds like a lot of your previous experiences have come together in your current role. So the experience of being somebody who's been a job seeker and feeling like you don't have a direction and the stress and anxiety that can cause, a feeling that you want to help others, a skill with languages and words and communication. It's all come together in this role now. It is fascinating how things that can feel like failures or kind of things holding you back at certain points in life can actually be the things that really help you to progress and become a more successful person in the future.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just really, really strange how all of that has come together. And I think what that's done is help build, you know, a very strong sense of empathy with the people that I work with, but also reveling in the freedom that I get. Because the thing that I really love about my role is the amount of creative freedom that I get. You're able to shape it in the way that you see fit. And I think that if you'd said to me maybe 7 years ago, oh, you're going to do this really cool role and you're going to end up abseiling down a building, running a marathon, facilitating and creating workshops, and studying on an MBA while you're at it, I would have said, you what? you've got to be completely out of your tree. But actually, it's about your mindset. It's a lot of it is about your attitude, and you really can't wait for other people to hand you stuff. You've just got to really put yourself out there and think creatively, especially during these really uncertain, topsy-turvy times. But there is something out there if you're willing to go look for it.
So just going back to the fact that you're doing a master's in business administration at the moment, on top of the master's that you've already got, would you say postgraduate qualifications are essential for anyone wanting to progress within sustainability roles? And does this differ from people doing similar roles within the charity sector? Because you're obviously in a big corporate company.
I think that while degrees are important, really I think it's about the fibre of your character and how passionate you are about improving the lives of others and the planet in this particular role. So for example, Grant Thornton's really, really keen on social mobility. In 1 year we were at top of the list, I think, in the very first year that the Social Mobility Awards went out, or an index, forgive me, I forget which. But basically it was a very, very cool award, an acknowledgement of the fact that we do try to level the playing field. So we did away with university, you know, as a prerequisite for people to come into the firm. So you could be a school leaver, you could be an apprentice, and especially with the emphasis on apprenticeships and broadening that pathway for people to get into professional services, which is something that we're really passionate about, then I think that's super important. But just coming back to what you're saying about a degree, if you've got a degree, it helps. I think it shows that there is a level of intellectual sophistication about your thinking. The key thing is about how you're going to apply that. So if you've done a dissertation or you've written essays, then that's you managing your workload. Mm-hmm. Employers will, at this stage of your life, if you're an undergrad or a student, they're not looking for your experience. They're looking at your potential. And I know that your audience might say, oh, I haven't got the experience, I haven't got this or that. Okay, that's cool. But think about what you do have. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a science degree, then you're very structured. You know how to research. You know how to handle evidence. Or if you're doing history, you know how to handle the evidence and think about where everything like comes from, the analytical ability. Think about how that's going to work. Those skills are going to work in a professional context, and sell it. I'd say just sell it. And if you're not sure about how to articulate all of that, find out. There's so much information that people have today, like YouTube and the internet, that I didn't have that. And if I'd known about this kind of stuff, and if I'd known to be able to listen to a podcast like that, my God, I would have been all over it like a shot.
Okay, so it sounds like it's not necessarily about the level of qualification you've got, it's about your experiences, but also your self-awareness and how you're able to articulate that and show that you can add value. And of course, people should remember they can use their university quiz services to help with that. So you've mentioned a lot about the fact that you need to be a really strong communicator, you need to be really able to adapt to different types of work environments, think strategically as well as in a hands-on way. Any other kind of personal strengths or qualities you would say you need to have to be happy, successful in sustainability in particular?
I think you've got to have a passion for it. because a lot of the people that I talk to who are outside of my firm who also corporate responsibility or sustainability professionals do this because it's akin to a vocation. They feel a really strong sense of connection in relation to doing good within society. It's that ethos of making a difference. And so if you've got that, and that might be that you're connected to a particular cause, whatever charitable cause that might be, or you're really passionate about the environment and it annoys you when people don't put stuff in the right recycling bin, then maybe this is the job for you, actually, to think about how you might harness that within a professional context. And I think, again, it's really useful to have that degree, but think about how you could apply that. I think the other thing that goes unsaid is think about the gifts that you would bring within a team. Now, sustainability teams, in my experience, are very small, unless you're working for one of the larger corporates. But I work in a team of three that serves 4,500 people in the UK. So this is a role that really needs you to pull your weight, to make things happen. So you have to have that degree of independence and initiative and drive to make things happen.
Well, it's clear throughout our conversation how much you really love the work.
Yeah.
What's the worst aspect of the role?
Oh, you had to go there. You had
got to get there. To it.
Right. So my favourite phrase around this is that what we do is about the glamour and the grit. And on the surface of it, so I might put on an environmental event. I really recommend if people are really into the environment out there, check out WWF. Our Planet, Our Business, which is a really cool film about the environment and what businesses can do to help shift the narrative around climate change and nature loss.
Okay.
And the reason why I'm saying that is that we put on this internal event for our people. I think about 70-odd people came along for this screening, but we also did it in tandem with WWF, and everyone had a good time, but they they also came away with plenty to think about. So that's the glamour side of it. But the grit is the stuff that goes unseen to make it seamless, to make it look effortless. You have to plan. You have to think about a structure that will engage people. I thought about elements such as the catering, which I made sure was meat-free and vegetarian, and it's being able to have those relationships with people to say, I got a crazy idea, caterers, that that you wouldn't usually do, but I wonder whether we can source some of that stuff. So it's thinking ahead about how do you make all of that seamless so that people come away with that really memorable experience and motivated to do something differently, but equally there's a lot of graft, a lot of grit that goes on behind the scenes to make that really compelling. And also just thinking about, again, how are you communicating? How are you bringing people on that journey with you? Because sometimes you will have challenges within the business. It's not all hunky-dory. People will say, well, actually, how are you measuring this? What's the data behind your argument? So I think you have to be, I do really think that there is a strong strand of communication that's needed to make this work, and realizing that sometimes people won't think the same way as you do. But I think that if you're able to be more flexible in your approach, again, this is where the street smarts will come with working. There is a lot to learn on the job, but I'm sure that your listeners are more than capable of being able to do that.
So it sounds like there's loads of really fun and rewarding elements to the role, but there's all this behind the scenes stuff that goes on, which is quite stressful, demanding. You're managing lots of different priorities at the same time. You're having to be very detail orientated, and just kind of they're thankless tasks in terms of it's seamless and that's when it's gone well, because no one really knows how much effort's gone into it.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think the key challenges will be for sustainability over the next few years? Is there anything that students should anticipate they should start to maybe get more involved in or be aware of that might be on the horizon? I know everything's gone a bit crazy now with the sort of the health situation, so I don't know if that's a factor or if there were already things that you were thinking about as potential challenges for the next few years ahead.
Okay, so I think we can't ignore the current situation. I think it has huge ramifications for sustainability sector and the planet as a whole. I think the easiest way to conceive of this is in terms of people, profit, planet. So if you look at the like the people, the societal level. So I learned recently that as a result of what's going on at the moment, that the UK charity sector stands to lose an estimated £4 billion in lost income.
Wow.
So that's going to put a lot of charities at the brink. And why now you're seeing a lot of causes really trying to get out there. And the usual, all the fundraising events and the initiatives that usually be out there, they've lost that. So I think that provided that they survive what's going on at the moment, there's going to be a huge amount of rebuilding and really just trying to get back on an even keel. So I think in that respect, again, thinking about if your students are your grads are thinking about getting involved with stuff, so like the community-minded things, help out in the community, build up your skills, but really get, and if possible, if there is a charity or what have you that offers an initiative to help for you to be able to get involved with safely, then by all means do that and think about the skills that you're learning as you go. So whether it's that teamwork piece, you might want to talk about your motivation for doing it. Oh, I want to help out people because it's a good thing to do, but also it's the right thing to do. Whatever it is that resonates within every fiber of your being doing that, bring that out, really think about that and think about how you might articulate that to an employer, because you can't hide when it's genuine, and it will come out in the quality of your application, the quality of your interview. In terms of the environmental side of things, we can't help but notice that because industry is still is at a much, much lower level than it has been for quite some time. I mean, I think you've seen satellite pictures on the BBC about the amount of pollution that subsided and reduced. So it really is noticeable. And I think what we will see are a lot more innovative solutions coming to the fore. I mean, we talked about working from home earlier.
Yeah.
And so being able to bring, I think the amount of technological innovation will hopefully result in a more green planet and us being more mindful about the options beyond what we were doing before. So again, it's just about companies and indeed charities, especially environmental ones, just being mindful of the shifts there. And as much as I'd love to say that on the profit side, though, it's all about helping. I think really in a commercial sense, and every company, every charity for that matter, is reliant upon that income.
Yeah.
To come in, because otherwise, without it, you wouldn't exist. And sometimes sacrifices have to be made in a environment like this. And so it's just, I think at the moment everyone's just trying to buckle up for survival and ride this out as best they can. And then fingers crossed we'll all make it through to the other side.
But I think that's really useful advice, to look at what people can do now in terms of community volunteering, whether that's virtually or physically, and why they want to do that, being clear on their motivations, what they're gaining from it as well, and the impact they're having. It's obviously, it's a great thing to do anyway, but it's a really useful way to get some relevant work experience and see if this is something you really believe in and that you'd want to perhaps turn into a profession as well as something you do in your spare time.
Absolutely. And it's just that thing of doing something in service of something that's greater than yourself and that supports society and the planet.
Excellent. Okay, well, for more information about the career areas we've mentioned today, I'm going to add some relevant links to the episode description and a full link to the transcript of today's show.
Cool.
But thank you so much, Daniel, for joining us. It's been a really interesting conversation, really useful info there, and really appreciate you giving up your time today.
Happy to help.
Thanks for joining us this week on What Do You Actually Do? This episode was hosted by myself, Kate Morris, edited by Stephen Furlong, and produced by both of us. If you love this podcast, spread the word and subscribe. Are you eager to get more tips? Follow University of York Careers and Placements on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. All useful links are in this episode description. This has been produced at the University of York Careers and Placements. For more information, visit york.ac.uk/careers.